You are listening to Through the Stage Door at the Majestic Theater on WMNH 95.3. We're a biweekly program that celebrates what's happening on stage at the Majestic Theater, as well as the musical sounds coming from the Ted Herbert Music School. For more information about the Majestic Theater or Ted Herbert Music School, you can visit us at www.majestictheater.net or www.tedherbert.com, or just give us a call, 669-7469. And we'll get you the information you need. My name is Robert Dyan. I'm the Artistic Director of the Majestic Theater and Administrator of Ted Herbert's. With me in the studio today is Eric Skoglund. Welcome, Eric.
Hey, Rob. Thank
and
you for
Eric
having me.
Eric is here today because we're going to talk about Neil Simon, who just passed away, sadly. Before we do that, I always like to let you know what's happening. We're in the we just finished our 152nd season. I don't even know what number it is anymore. with Moonlight and Magnolias, which Eric stepped in at the last minute to help. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
We just had a really good season. So we're heading into that point where we're just about ready. We approved our next main stage season last night, actually, at our board meeting. So we're in the process of kind of doing the reset. You know, all new logos, all new everything, all new brochures. Going to have a big kickoff event with our subscribers in September sometimes. But in the meantime, we actually have two music events coming up in September, which you'll want to attend, and they're wicked cheap. They're $10 each, so it's really cool. It's cheap. First, we've got the New Hampshire Ukuleles and Guests. That's happening on Sunday, September 16th at 3 p.m. If you have never seen the Ukuleles, they're a lot of fun. And they're a very, very popular group. They are a group out of Ted Herbert's, directed by our own John Schwinard, who's one of our teachers. And they're doing that benefit concert on Sunday the 16th at 3 p.m., and it's going to benefit the Ted Herbert Scholarship Fund. We're actually getting a scholarship fund going for our lesson programs so that we can help spread music regardless of people's ability to pay for private lessons. So check that out. Tickets are $10. You can get them online, give us a call, or at the door. And also coming up...
They are great, yeah, Rob. Yeah. I've seen them a bunch of times, and they are fantastic. Great group of ladies.
You know, and it's a lot of fun. They play pretty much all different types of music.
Oh, you can't help but sing along.
Yeah, so it's... And we're really thrilled because they did a concert for us last year. And, I definitely say get your tickets in advance if you can because we'd probably be pretty full for that. And that's at our Page Street Studio Theater at 8080 Page Street in Manchester.
Yeah, congratulations on that venue.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
So
thank you.
Such a
you
great...
You just did your first show there.
I just did my first show there. I've rehearsed there a year and a half ago, but that venue... Fantastic.
It's a great place to see a show and just kind of, yep. It's small. It's only 150, 160 seats.
It's intimate.
It's intimate. Yeah, intimate's a better word than small.
Yes.
I have to start using that word.
Yes, please.
And then on the 29th of September, we have, I'm going to be doing my cabaret. You've heard me talk about it before. I do it about three times a year at Majestic. The rest of the year, I'm everywhere else, Agunquit, Maine. I was just in Rockport, Mass, doing it at the beginning of the week. Heading down to Mohegan Sun to play for the Daddios, which will be a lot of fun next month in October. So my cabaret is on Saturday, September 29th at 7. Again, tickets are $10, and that's definitely sing-along based because we take our energy off of the crowd. And it's basically, we're doing decades this time, which means everything from Sinatra to Lady Gaga. And I'm not kidding. I play pretty much everything. So
I've been to yours, Rob. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's
you.
Okay. Go for it.
Yes, Rob, you are great at that. I've been many times to your cabarets, and I end up singing along, and I have
that's
a
good.
Really fun time.
It's amazing because the Majestic ones are much different than the ones I do elsewhere because people sit there and they listen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, at one point I usually say, will you guys just like talk over me or shout over me or something? So because I'm used to playing in obviously bars and piano bars mm-hmm. that are loud and rambunctious. So it's such a nice, and I have friends that come down from Agunquit to see me at Majestic like, oh, it's great. We can sing along. The music, there's no screaming people. So definitely check that out. I do three a year. I do a Broadway one, which happened earlier. I do the Decades one this month. And then I do a holiday Christmas one, mm-hmm. Thanksgiving weekend, which is also really popular. So even though we're not doing theater shows, and if you're wondering, well, I want to know what your next season is, well, you're going to have to wait.
I can't wait.
I know Eric's like looking at me going, I hope you're going to tell me before we're... we will have a big kickoff event for subscribers. Get on our mailing list so you get the brochure. Brochures for everybody else will probably go out early October. And plenty of things happening. Go to the website. That's what I do. I don't know what's happening half the time unless I go to the website. But we have another 14 shows planned in 11 months. Just the way it worked, I guess. So, but anyway, so we're going to get to Neil Simon. Eric, let me tell them a little bit about you first.
Oh,
I have your bio here.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, so this is the one you just sent me for the last show. So okay. I hope it's still current.
I'm sure it is.
You're sure? Okay, well, let me say, Eric Skoglund is honored to be a member of Actors in Residence program with the Boston Playwrights Platform. He has appeared on stage, in film, commercials, and print throughout the New England area, most notably a New Hampshire Lottery commercial, several Dunkin' Donuts campaigns, mm-hmm. a Bed Bath & Beyond advertisement, and as well as in-depth interview for the reality show Play On. In 2009, Eric was awarded NHCTA's Best Actor Prize. In 2012... 2013, 2016, and 2018, he was awarded Best Actor at the bunch of annual Playwrights Platform Festival of New Plays.
Right,
that was easier.
That's down in Boston.
Eric is honored to be a member of New Hampshire's theater life, and as I said, he just joined us for Moonlight Magnolias. Mm-hmm. So, Eric, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. New Hampshire Theater Award winner.
Well,
that's not on there.
Oh, you didn't put it on there.
For Shrek. For Shrek.
Oh, that's right. For
Lord Farquaad.
You played the evil villain.
About time.
Well,
I like playing the villain.
You have to play evil sometimes. So speaking about evil,
yes,
that really wasn't a segue, but we wanted to talk about Neil Simon because, you know, I was watching Facebook Live today, and today they're doing all the McCain funeral stuff, and I thought, you know, and I always say, regardless of what your political thing is, McCain was a good guy, you know,
yes.
and he did great things no matter what your political persuasion is, and then I heard Neil Simon died, and I went, you know, it's gonna kind of like when Michael Jackson died, didn't Brooke Shields or somebody else die?
No, Brooke Shields alive.
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
Farrah Fawcett died.
Oops,
yeah, and
sorry,
she kind of got overshadowed. Yeah.
Got overshadowed by it because everyone was talking about it. And I kind of feel it, Neil Simon, in some ways, with John McCain passing away, Neil Simon, who was an amazing playwright and screenwriter and author.
Prolific.
Really, really. So let me, for those of you who don't know who Neil Simon is, he was an American playwright, screenwriter, and author. Wrote more than 30 plays and nearly the same number of movie screenplays, mostly adaptation of his stage plays. He received more combined Oscar and Tony nominations than any other writer. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Simon grew up in New York City during the Great Depression, with his parents' financial hardships affecting their marriage, giving him a most unhappy and unstable childhood. He often took refuge in movie theaters where he enjoyed watching the early comedians like Charlie Chaplin. After a few years in Army Air Force Reserve and after graduating from high school, Neil Simon began writing comedy scripts for radio and some popular early television shows. Among them were Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows from 1950, where he worked along young writers including Carl Reiner, Mel Brooks, and Selma Diamond, and The Phil Silvers Show, which ran from 1955 to 1959. He began writing his own plays, beginning with Come Blow Your Own Horn in 1961, which took him 3 years to complete and ran for 678 performances on Broadway, was followed by two more successful plays, Barefoot in the Park, which we just did this past summer, and The Odd Couple, which I think we've done twice now, for which he won a Tony Award. It made him a national celebrity and the hottest new playwright on Broadway. During the 1960s to 1980s, he wrote both original screenplays and stage plays, with some films actually built based on his plays. His style ranged from romantic comedy to farce to more serious dramatic comedy. Overall, he garnered 17 Tony nominations and won 3. During one season, he had 4 successful plays running on Broadway at the same time. And in 1983, became the only living playwright to have a New York theater, the Neil Simon Theater, named in his honor. So that gives you the kind of really quick of what he's about. And I invited Eric today because Eric has done a lot of Neil Simon shows. And I said, wouldn't it be great to have someone from an actor's point of view come in and tell you about Neil Simon? So, Eric, how many Neil Simon shows have you done?
Well,
I see you have a list.
I do have a list. I went online to Wikipedia and I looked at all of them and I forgot some of them. I've done 7
Wow.
Neil Simon shows.
Which ones have you done?
I've done The Odd Couple.
As Felix?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And... Sweet Charity, which was his
musical.
I remember
that. Yep. In Nashville, right?
Right. Plaza Suite.
Okay.
Which is vignettes, a collection of vignettes. Prisoner of Second Avenue. Good Doctor.
Good Doctor was actually, is that the NTG production that
it, well,
it
no,
started?
It wasn't,
is that, was Eminem?
No, it started off as Merrick Mac Community Theater.
Oh.
And then it went, and then it morphed a whole bunch of times.
Okay.
And then we did it as Eminem.
Okay.
Productions.
Yep.
And we usually do it like once every 9 years, and we're actually due to do it pretty soon.
Because I think it was it part of a festival too? You guys did it.
We did it as festival.
Yep,
we revived it a couple of times. We first did it in December, I believe, and there was a snowstorm.
Okay, so it was probably a great show that nobody saw.
It was a great show no one saw. So then we went off and did it for festival, and won festivals. So we went on to regionals for that. And but we said, oh, well, nobody saw it because of the snowstorm. Let's bring it back. And so we brought it back at the Old American Stage Festival in Milford before it was the Amato.
Oh, and it
was all run down and everything.
Yep.
So we did it there in July, which is very difficult because it's a period piece, Russian, and it's wool.
Yeah.
In 95% humidity in July. So we did that, and I loved it. And
so we almost need to bring it back today because I got in the car today. It's 100 degrees.
Yes.
So today would be a perfect day for that.
Perfect for
it. What else have you done?
Prison of Second Avenue, Good Doctor. California Suite.
Okay.
I've done that twice. And Rumors.
All right. We did Rumors a year ago with our teens, actually.
Right. Yep.
And Rumors is actually, you know, we talked about New Hampshire Theater Awards. Rumors was a show that I saw billions of years ago in Northwood, Ann White Northwood Theater Workshop, which sadly is not around anymore. But then I got assigned to adjudicate it up in Littleton.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the show. I'm like, this is a fun show. And also we ended up doing it with our teens. But Majestic's done quite a bit of, well, I shouldn't say quite a bit. We've done a handful of Neil Simon plays, and I have to look at the list as well. I actually, you know, printed out the list as well because I was like, I didn't know he had that many plays and that many.
I was surprised, even
like the screenplays. So Majestic has done Barefoot in the Park. We did it this past season. We've done The Odd Couple. I want to say once, but it might have been twice. I just don't remember, to be totally honest. It's all a blur at this point after 30 years. We did. There's one on this list we're doing this next year.
Oh, gosh. Which
I'm
one?
Not telling you yet. Ugh. I can't tell you on the radio. I'll tell you after.
Okay.
We did The Sunshine Boys. I remember we did that years ago. We did They're Playing Our Song, which we were the only New Hampshire theater to do. It's a musical.
Okay.
With Marvin Hamlisch, and we were the only theater, community theater in New Hampshire to do that. We did Fools.
We did
Lost in Yonkers.
Mm-hmm.
We did Rumors. And that's it off this list. But I'll tell you, the reason why... Neil Simon is one of those authors where and I've read most of his plays. I don't need to reread them when I decide to do them. I know that they're going to be well written, and I know that the audiences are going to love them.
I agree.
What is your experience as an actor as far as the writing?
The writing, he knew how to write conversations. And it's so accessible. And I find as an actor, there are certain playwrights that I have the hardest time trying to memorize their lines.
Mm-hmm.
With Simon's works, I feel like I read them a couple times and I know them.
Wow.
I know the lines.
Because it's natural.
It's so
it's natural dialogue.
Even though he wrote some of these 50 years ago, they're still true today, and they're so lyrical. They're wonderfully back and forth with a scene partner, and they're funny. They are hysterically funny.
His shows are funny. You know, there's no doubt about that. I remember Fools when we did it, and we did that back at the old St. Marie Theater, and I just remember the people just roaring.
I don't remember that one.
I don't even know how many years ago, but yeah, we did that at the St. Marie Theater, probably in, I'd say maybe the late 90s maybe, and it was a dinner theater, and it was just very well received. One thing that says on Wikipedia, there was a section on characters, and I won't read the whole thing, but it's interesting you said that because it said on here, before writing, Simon tries to create an image of his characters.
Mm-hmm.
He said that of the play Star Spangled Girl, which was a box office failure, was the only play I ever wrote where I did not have a clear visual image of the characters in my mind as I sat down at the typewriter. So it seems like his stuff is very well thought out. And even though he has like dozens of plays, it's kind of sad to know that there's not going to be another new one.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes, because they're just such rich characters.
So of the characters that you played, are there favorites that you've had? Is there dialogue that you remember that was comical from any of the characters?
Oh, of course, of course. One of my favorites scene, because he wrote the book for Sweet Charity.
Right.
And what that means is in a musical, the spoken word is the book. And there's a scene in Sweet Charity where Oscar Lindquist, he's the love interest to Charity, they meet on an elevator.
Oh, I was just going to say, and the elevator scene.
The elevator scene
that
is fantastic. And it's so well written. And if you get an actor who is physically capable of, because he's a broad character, he's so big, and he gets trapped, the elevator stops, and he starts to hyperventilate, and he freaks out in this small, teeny elevator, and Charity tries to calm him down. And then they go off into a song. But the spoken word in that scene is so funny and just moves, and it moves the storyline along of Charity's character. It's perfect. And I also loved The Good Doctor, like I said, we've done it so many times. And with the same cast, it's the same five of us that do it all the time. And just, it's a spoof on Chekhov's work. So you have a great Russian playwright with this American playwright, and it's rich and it's funny. And I played Ivan Ivilyich in The Sneeze, and the guy just sneezes, pachoo, that's it. But in his head, it's this ha-choo, and it's huge and gigantic. And in his head, he thinks he's going to get fired, and he tries to help his boss. It's just, it's slapsticky, it's funny. And then I also did The Dentist, which is another vignette in The Good Doctor with Neil Blakelock.
Oh, okay.
You know Neil.
Yeah, I know Neil.
And so the two of us, I played this new dentist, and he has a toothache, and I try and take it out of his mouth, and the broken tooth, and hilarity ensues, and Simon is a genius writing those sorts of things.
So let's talk a little bit. One thing you just said to me, that you said you've done the show a bunch of times with the same five people.
Yes.
And I always love that, because I always find, like, no matter what role I do, and I've had certain roles that I just happen to fall into each time, I find that each time I do it again, I get a little further with the role. So how is it, like, when you do a show, and so you've done it, the same five people, you've done it over how many years? When was the first production?
Oh, gosh, it was early 2000, maybe 2006-ish.
Okay. So every couple of years you guys bring it back. So how many times have you brought it back now?
We've brought it back three times, once for festival.
And how does the show grow? Tell me about the experience of that.
As an actor, you just grow. Yeah. And you can dissect. It's not so much, the words aren't so much face value anymore. You see the intention, the motivation. And while a lot of people think Simon's works are not that deep, it really truly is. And you dive into those characters and you find the nuances. And working with the same five people, you're revisiting it 9 years later.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, we really only scratched the surface the first time we did it. And it's lovely. It's such a joy to do that.
It's a great experience, to be able to just take a character and be like, wow, I never saw that last time I did this.
Exactly. You know? Like, what was I thinking nine years ago? That was so stupid of me. Yeah. The intention is more this way.
You know, and it's interesting what you said about writing comedy, too, because it's like, I just finished reading scripts for this next season. And I'll be honest, and I've said this several times in this program, that for every one good script, I read 12 bad ones. And I can now, because I've been doing it so long, I pretty much can open to a random page in the script and just read it and look at the dialogue.
Right.
Are people reacting and are they speaking to each other? Is it real or is it written?
Yep.
That makes sense?
It totally makes sense.
You know, and it's funny because I just read A Murder Mystery, which I had as part of our next season. And I read it and I read it again. And in this past week, and I said, I'm going to read it one more time. And I read it one more time. And I went, the jokes, they almost are playing to the stereotypes for the jokes. And The Murder Mysteries are hard for us because The Murder Mysteries, none of them are well written. None of The Murder Mysteries are
well
written.
No, they
aren't. They really aren't.
No.
Audiences love them. They're campy. They're fun. But they're not Tony Award winning shows.
No.
And so, after reading it the third time, I said, this is just too kind of, And so I'm putting one in, and I won't tell you what it is, but when I tell you, you're going to laugh because you'll be like, the other one, because the one I put in is the same thing. It's there's funny moments in it. But, again, it's not the most well-written thing in the world. But I know that we'll get the good actors to do it and good director,
right.
And it'll make it fun. And that's what, for us, it's great to do a show like Moonlight Magnolias, which has some meat to it. But we do other things, too, that just the audiences will like.
Yes.
And that's okay because, you don't want to have everything be really – you don't want people to always come away with it feeling like they've just eaten a 10-course meal, And
you need some light.
And I had friends that came and saw Moonlight Magnolias, and honestly, some friends that I didn't think would enjoy it that thought it was great. They laughed the whole time.
Oh, thank God.
My parents thought it was great. They were like, oh, it was so funny.
I saw your mom and dad.
And it's interesting because they don't, they don't always talk about the shows, but they thought that was a great show. Any other memorable moments within the shows? Because you have quite a list there of different shows you've done. What about California Suite? Where did you do that? Did you do that in Concord?
No. California Suite, the first time I did it, and those are a set of vignettes. There's four vignettes to them. And the first time I did it was with Stage One.
Oh, okay.
With George Peele. Yep. And there's a scene where there's these two couples, and they were tennis partners, and they get hurt, and then just it's slapsticky, it's huge, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you get those four actors on stage that can do that broad comedy, and it's hysterical. The people in the audience laughed all the time.
Yeah.
And
that sounds like the type of show, too, that's right up George Peele's alley, too.
It's his
brother.
He
really
mother.
Is. Yes. It's totally his like, yep. You know, that, I mean, George has such comedic, great mm-hmm. comedic timing that, you know, as an actor, how do the Neil Simon shows differ from some of the other shows that you've done, maybe that are also written by good writers?
I feel that with the Neil Simon shows, there's also a sense of humanity in them.
Okay.
That they're grounded, and then they can face some ugly truths that people don't want to look at. Because the other one in California Suite that I did for NTG, Nashua Theater Guild,
okay, yeah.
last September, actually.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that vignette, it was a husband and wife, they're going to the Oscars, and the wife, she's up for lead actress, and they're British, they're the visitors from London.
Okay.
And she loses, and they come back in the second scene, and then they start getting into one another. And the husband is a gay man.
Okay.
He's a closet. Well, he's not closeted, but he's a gay man. And then they finally have it out that they are married. They have this arrangement, and they start yelling at one another and being mean to one another. And in the end, they still find out they need one another. So Simon writes these wonderful plays where it's the human relationships that they may not be perfect for one another, but they still need one another.
Yep. Barefoot in the Park is a perfect example of a show where the character you see the characters go from, you know, sweetie at the beginning to lots of serious problems and a lot of comedy in there. And it's funny, I find he uses comedy sometimes to bridge some of those issues that make you, it's like you laugh, but it's almost an uncomfortable laugh at points. And then you're like, oh no, yeah, okay, I can relate to that.
Yep.
You know, and then at the end, you know, it's we just did Barefoot and it was, you know, such just a fun show. And it's interesting what you said about the humanity, because it's true. I feel like when I see a Neil Simon show, regardless of where it is, regardless if it's a high school production or if it's a professional production, you really learn how real these characters are. And the laughs aren't at the expense of a stereotype of these characters.
Right.
They're a laugh at genuine feelings and situations that real people go through. And real people can, you know, and as an actor, that's the sort of roles that we all want to do.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
it starts off funny, and you think it's a comedy, and then it starts going downhill into this drama.
Yeah.
So not only did he do comedy, it's these wonderful dramatic pieces, which in real life, there are moments of laughter.
Yep.
No matter how dramatic and downtrodden you might have, there is a moment of hilarity. And that's the spice of life. And Simon wrote The Spice of Life.
And he's not going to write anymore, unfortunately.
Yes.
And I will say, though, doing research for this, and I'm going to post this radio show on our website, and I'll put some links down as well at the bottom so you can look at other information about Neil Simon, because, like, honestly, it's funny. I printed the Wikipedia page, and it's like 15 pages,
yes.
which is very rare. Usually it's like, oh, a couple pages. But there's so much information about them, and you read about this guy. And, you know, and even if you're not a theater person, read some of his plays, you know, because I really think that you'll really, really enjoy them. And some of them, it's interesting, like people think, you know, everybody knows The Odd Couple.
Right.
You know, because of the big TV show.
Two different versions of the TV show.
You know, and then they've got the male version and the female version now. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, we're going to be due to do another Odd Couple soon. But looking at some of the others, I'm like, oh boy, you know, like California Sweet, I'd love to do that sometime, you know. Laughter on the 23rd Floor is one I think that, is it Bedford? Someone's doing it this coming season, I think.
I think so.
You know, for us too, it's like, you know, you look at it, you go, okay, we did Lost in Yonkers. I'd love to do the trilogy. I'd love to do a whole trilogy sometime. You know, but it's one of those things where, you know, it's nice to know that even though he's gone, there are so many plays left that we haven't done that we've got many more years of Neil Simon. And we've had a Neil Simon show on our schedule the past several seasons because, again, people know them. It's like when they hear Rodgers and Hammerstein. They know what they're going to be getting with Rodgers and Hammerstein. They don't have to – even some of their shows that aren't maybe as popular as, say, The Sound of Music, which everybody seems to do, people know that they're going to go have a good night of theater. And like I said, we do have a Neil Simon show, which I will tell you after, Eric, after we're off the air.
I'll keep my lips sealed.
But we'll have a Neil Simon show as one of our dinner theaters. It's actually going to open our season in January this next year. And I'm really excited because I just know we want to open the season with something that's really, really good. And I know this show is going to be. Have you ever thought of directing any Neil Simons? I know you have you directed at all?
I've directed small pieces. Yes, I would love to.
If you could pick one Neil Simon play to direct, which one and why?
Oh gosh.
And just you know, I gave him none of these questions before, so.
I would have to look at the list again because there's so many, and I don't like to do shows twice. Except under certain circumstances, The Good Doctor was the same cast and same director. But if I had to pick one, I'd have to look at your list. And
well, is there any that comes off mine? Anyone that you've been in that you'd like that you of the ones you've been
in? I would rather not do the ones that I've done.
So you'd want to do something.
I don't know,
totally
maybe unless this is one of your ones.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to look. I don't know because there's so many good ones to choose from. I don't know.
Do you have a favorite?
It's Sophie's choice. My favorite one to do is Good Doctor.
Is it because you've done it so much?
Because I've done it because we bonded as a family.
I was going to say the people in it.
It's the people in it. It was a family thing.
We were just talking about Annie on the way into the studio today, and Concord's doing Annie this fall, and I got more emails, people saying, are you going to audition for Daddy Warbucks? Because I've done it twice and done the show. I've done 87 performances of Annie over 6 productions in different capacities. But it was interesting because the reason why I fell in love with the show Annie is because I did it at Prescott Park one summer back in college.
Oh, wow.
And I was just in the pit.
That's a commitment.
But it was just fun. It was just fun. It was fun people. And sometimes, even if we're doing a show that's maybe not our favorite, just the fact that we can be with fun people, and in your case with Good Doctor, have that reunion of just like, oh, my God, hey, we're getting the band back together. You know, we're getting the cast back together through the show is just really, really good.
I think Brighton Beach Memoirs would be
really
fun. Yeah. I have to reread it.
Is that the second in the series? Because Broadway, because it's Lost in Yonkers. Oh, no, Biloxi Blues is Brighton Beach Memoirs is part of the trilogy.
I can't remember.
Okay, I know that there's Lost in Yonkers.
I think I know
Biloxi
what I'll be reading
Blues and,
for the next couple months.
Yeah, there you go. Hey. One article, too, that we don't have time to talk about today, but I want to put it.
Oh, we have these trivias also.
Well, I'm going to actually have them go to the knife. We'll do maybe one or two trivias. But there's another article I found, which I'm not going to read you. There's a link on the on our Majestic website about Matthew Broderick. And Matthew Broderick, the headline is, Matthew Broderick on first audition for Neil Simon, I made him laugh, thank God. And he was in Brighton Beach Memoirs back when it was on Broadway. So I have a link on our website. Just click on the image that says, listen to our latest podcast about Neil Simon. There's a bunch of links there about stuff that we just didn't get to in these 28 minutes.
Wasn't Matthew Broderick in Biloxi Blues, the movie?
Yes,
yeah,
he was.
So he was a favorite of Neil Simon, I think.
And it's funny because he said one thing. I'll just read you the end of this. It says, during rehearsals, Simon would never give notes directly to an actor. I would try something out, and I would see his head lean over to the director and him whispering into his ear. And then I knew that meant I was going to get killed. Whatever you're doing there, stop that. Every time he leaned over, I knew I was in trouble. So it's interesting how he gave people the artistic reign, but he still kept in control at all times.
Right.
So we're just coming to our end, but there is also trivia. I'm not going to do it, but because you can go and play the trivia online. And some of these questions, actually, if you think back to our podcast, the one about Barefoot in the Park, we actually did some of these trivia questions as well. And Eric's looking through, and you'll notice, Eric, some of them took me 2 or 3 tries to get the right answer. But definitely check out this trivia thing. It's on our website, majestictheater.net. As always, you know, we have a great time doing what we do. Thank you, Eric, for coming in today to talk about Neil Simon. I'm glad that we had this opportunity to spend a short few minutes talking about the great work of this just amazing playwright who's going to be missed. And
Have they dimmed the lights on Broadway yet for him?
I don't know
yet,
to be totally honest. He died last Sunday, the 26th. I've not seen a lot about the funeral plans yet. I'm not sure if they're waiting for the Senator McCain plans to complete before they. But he lived to be 91. I wouldn't have thought he was 91. Mm. But definitely, if you have a chance to take in a Neil Simon play, regardless of where it is, definitely check it out because you'll be glad you did. Thanks for listening today. You're listening to Through the Stage Door at the Majestic Theater. You can contact us at 669-7469 or online at www.majestictheater.net or tedherbert.com. Go to the Majestic Theater site. Check out the stuff we have about Neil Simon. And Neil Simon, rest in peace. And thank you for leaving a legacy of shows that are going to be enjoyed for probably another 91 years. And so thank you very much, and we'll see you next time.